Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Grunick, your host. Delighted to have you with us this beautiful Monday morning. It's going to be a great week as we enter into the Christmas holiday season. We hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving and expressed thanks for our many blessings. We are honored to have the dynamic duo of Andy Camp and Eric McDonald in the studio.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
And this is an exciting program for me. Let me give a quick intro to both of these gentlemen. Eric McDonald is President and CEO of the Greater Hellison Chamber of Commerce. Andy Camp is the VP of Business Development at NextSight, correct?
That's correct.
And this is a topic near and dear to my heart because as a small independent business person, it seems like all the press, particularly in radio, goes to the big radio stations. And generally, all the press generally goes to big industry and big business. And small business retailers are so incredibly important to our overall economy and to our overall culture at large. That's what we're going to explore this morning. So I hope that's a good setup for you two gentlemen.
I think that'll work just fine.
Yeah. Good. Tell us, if you will, your perspectives on the role of small business and retail in our overall economic picture.
Steve, you know, of course, the Chamber of Commerce, we believe the number one driving force and changing force in a person's life is a job. And most of those jobs come one, two, three at a time. And so one of the things that we wanted to do was to make sure that we were able to go out there and bring in new smaller units. So, I mean, of course, everybody's trying to hit for the fence, right? We're always trying to hit for another Honda, or we're always trying to swing to get that next big business. But really the best jobs that come into an economy are those that come in at a much smaller number because you're less reliant on them. And if something happens to their industry, you're not in as bad a shape. So, of course, you know, kind of to back up for some of the listeners out there, you know, we created Grow Harrelson a couple of years ago to go out there and to go into and to grow our community. And so we raised about $1.3 million of private money, about 88% private, to do one of three things. One, to industrial attraction. Sure, we need those manufacturing, we need those logistics, we need those assembly jobs in our community to keep our folks home, because those are typically a little bit higher wage than retail. And 80% of our people leave every day. So how do we keep those folks off of I-20, in essence? The second part was workforce. I think that's now the new norm in anybody's industry, including yours. How am I going to find that next person? So either I'm retraining or I'm filling that pipeline. But today's focus is the third pillar of that stool, and that was retail. How do we get jobs in our community for everybody, and how do we find a place to eat, to sit down and eat, in Bremen or Tallapoosa or Buchanan? And then how do we support our small businesses that don't have access to the data that, say, a Lowe's has or a Walmart? So we partnered with a company called NextSight, and Andy Camp is with NextSight. And we said, Andy, how do we bring retail into our community? And so I'll hand this over to Andy. Is that a nice pitch?
Yeah, that was nice. Was that thank you for teeing that up.
Yeah.
So what NextSight is we're a small business. We're a consulting company that provides research, marketing, and proactive recruitment. And we study a market. We take a look at what the regional trade area is. We also look at drive times and radial information as well, so we can understand the shoppers. We can understand the consumers in the market, where they work, what are their preferences, where do they like to go, where do they leave the market to go, and how can we try to attract that business that can come in and fill that void, whether it's a grocery store, whether it's a small maybe meat market or someone, a small independent business that's maybe you got an entrepreneur who's got a theory that they can fill a void in the market with a unique downtown business. This research really helps them craft their business plan. And we find that oftentimes that research helps them acquire loans, maybe work with the landlord to get a better rate, to prove, you know, kind of to prove their theory is going to be right. So, but in addition to that, Eric and his team have access to the marketing information that we create that we also hit the road with. So we go to some conferences, we do developer outreach, meet with tenant reps, really try to work with the folks that are on the ground level trying to bring those businesses into the community. And this is where the nationals play in. And a lot of times the national brands are structured as a franchisee, so you're still dealing with a small business. You know, maybe it's a franchisee that has five or six stores and employs a total of, we'll say, about 150 people, which would still, you know, qualify as that benchmark with SBA. And they're out working as well, trying to grow their business, working through the structure of that franchise group. So that's, in essence, what we do. And in addition to that, all the chamber members get access to that research.
That's right.
So if they're an existing business in the community, they can either add to or think about the consumer, maybe get a little bit more intelligence into things that they might be able to do within inside their store, or expand their own store to reach out and maybe add a different product line or something that we've noticed people are leaving the market to go acquire.
And, you know, what's cool about this is, and I'm not sure how many people realize what their cell phone does. Of course, I think right before we went on the air, we might have been picking on you, Steve, with your cell phone. I did not realize that you could get a dial-up phone in Sailor. So I was impressed to see that.
I thought that was a rotary, actually.
Yeah, but, yeah.
So everything we're about to say doesn't apply to Steve.
Yeah, it doesn't apply to Steve. But if you have a smartphone.
The rules are we don't abuse it.
It's the best part. It's the best part.
No host abuse here.
Yeah. So, no, but really, so your smartphone's telling on you, right? It's constantly following out where you are. So we can look at data and we can figure out where as an aggregate whole, the cell phones were that walked into Walmart, where they were an hour before they went in, where they were an hour before they left, where did they spend the day, where did they spend the night? And we can start to kind of build an idea of what do those customers do? And then you take that and you throw in a bunch of credit card data, and now I can figure out that we lose a bunch of money on groceries going out of our community. There's a lot of people that eat out. We can get granulars about $50,000 worth of apples every year that are sold to people with zip codes in our target area. So then we can turn around and give that to a small business. So if they're trying to say, and I'll give you a great example. We had a veterinarian that was looking to maybe increase their pet food, and they wanted to see what, you know, is there enough business out here to justify the expense of bringing in a new kind of a gourmet pet food line? So we were able to get data down to how much dry and wet cat food people bought and handed that to them. And then it's up to them really to take that data and make that next business leap decision. But what we're trying to do is fill those gaps, and it's best to do it if I can go to the local hardware store and say $8 million of outdoor furniture is being purchased somewhere else. This might be a great opportunity for you. So it's business intelligence so that they can make those decisions.
So this level of data was not available 10, 20 years ago. This is relatively a new phenomenon.
I would say it really wasn't available 5 years ago.
Really?
Yes, and just to piggyback on what Eric was saying, it's anonymous information. So
right.
Feel free to shop anywhere you want. We don't know who you are. We don't have your cell phone number. I mean, Steve, we never know where you are. But it's very benign data. For us, what it allows us to know is general work and home locations, particularly the home location of the shopper, but then also some of the businesses they frequent. So if they've been somewhere during that year multiple times, and we're able to take a look at it, and that gives us an opportunity to think about what those consumers like to do. Because, you know, I mean, we'll use Walmart as an example. There's almost always a shadow center where some other businesses go in next to Walmart. And they tend to run together. Well, we would take a look at that, knowing a Walmart shopper tends to have those same types of tendencies. And we're able to leverage that in a way where we can outreach to developers or talk to the people that represent the brand and see if there's a chance for them to have a location in that community. Again, we got to have good, compelling real estate. Most of the time, there's a case to be made for that. And then sometimes there's some opportunities for the community to work together in a more of a public-private partnership standpoint, to either identify ways that they can work through the code, or maybe there's a piece of infrastructure or something. Again, if there's a gap, if there's something that needs to be done, and we know costs kind of continue to escalate. If you've done anything at your house, you know, I mean, it costs more now than it did 5 years ago, of course.
Back to the local hardware store example, oftentimes it's said that the way for a local business to compete with the big box stores or Wally World is to improve their customer service.
Sure.
and beyond product selection, you know, because basically you're now facing more of going into a niche type of a market, specializing because of the big box stores. But if you would speak to customer service, because that's also something we tend to minimize the importance of small business and retail, but we also tend to minimize the importance of customer service for small business and retail.
The best example that you can really just see growing up all over the communities, and certainly if you go to Tallapoosa, Bremen, are the clothing boutiques. So you can get clothing online cheaper than you can in that boutique. Mm-hmm. But when you walk in the door, if you've been in there a couple of times, that owner knows who you are, will sometimes have something that they just save special for you in the back, right? I know your size, and they're going to bring out your taste, and they're going to show that to you. So there, you know, the online equivalent would be the other shoppers viewed this item. Mm-hmm. But these folks are increasing their sales by walking out with exactly what you want and making sure that you know that. And if it doesn't fit, you can take it right back. You can try it right on in there. So I think the boutiques to me are the perfect example of the niche market that has survived and is really thriving in an online world, because clothing is still that last personal item that if I don't know exactly what I want, I'm going to want to go in there and I'm going to want to touch it. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to put it on. How many folks have ever bought something on eBay thinking that they're getting a great deal on something? I think if you just Google great eBay fashion fails, you'll see some fantastic items. But where you get it in and it is nothing like what the description was. Well, that's not going to happen in that small boutique. And they're going to know you.
Our guests this morning are Andy Camp of NextSight, VP of Business Development, and Eric McDonald, President and CEO of the Greater Harrelson Chamber of Commerce. We welcome your calls at 678-601-TALK, 678-601-8255. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about brick-and-mortar stores, but first this word.
A well-rounded education includes much more than just academics. At Oak Mountain Academy, we encourage our students to find their niche in any of our 42 co-curricular opportunities. Over the past 5 years, we have brought home 5 state and 20 regional athletic titles. Our one-act play and literary teams continuously compete at the region and state level, and our academic teams bring home first place more than not. We are warriors creating legacies. To learn more, visit oakmountain.us.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama, because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org. Or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. So we're talking about a very important subject because we are, as a group of local independent radio stations, primarily funded 95% more by local small business, and we're very proud of that. We look very proud of the idea that we can help local business be successful. Tell us, we were talking about before the break, about brick-and-mortar stores as compared to online. But, you know, one thing we see in our local communities is, you know, when it's for the local football program or whether it's for the local charity or to help the homeless locally or whatever the nonprofit may be, it's generally that local brick and mortar store that's supporting those charitable and nonprofit outreaches. Do y'all find that to be the case?
Oh, sure. I've never seen Amazon.com on the back of anybody's jersey on a Little League field.
There's an opportunity.
Yeah.
And my youth lacrosse team will happily take the sponsorship. I'll go ahead and put that plug in right now.
Sure. But, yeah, you're not going to see that. The small business is the cornerstone of almost any community.
Well, I say that to make a point to those people who are going in there soliciting those donations. Please remember that business when it's time to purchase.
Oh, sure.
And a lot of times we don't. You know, I can get a great deal over here. It's 5% off. Well, yeah, but, and you need to think about, you know, this whole bigger piece of pie and how it's all integrated.
Well, and you mentioned, online, there are just certain things that aren't Amazonable. So if you'll pardon the created word there.
I like it.
We look at food as being one of those immediately. We have a lot of convenience with Uber Eats and other things where, you know, or DoorDash. Where folks can get the food just brought, you know, delivered to them. But it's purchased very, very close by. So it's within the community. Local restaurants with, investors backing that chef within the community, or maybe it's the chef's money. Either way, you're looking at those taking spaces that anchor downtowns or you know, really trip generators. My wife and I laugh about it. By the way, today's our 19th anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I want to get that in there. When we go out to eat, we just go downtown. We don't even pick the location because we just have choices. So it can be a trip generator when it's a destination like that. We often go to the boutique, or we often go to the small business while we're down there as well. So looking at that is kind of programming a lot of the ways your co-tenancy works, and maybe, 30 years ago when somebody would think about a mall, is the same thing that's still happening just independently or together with the DDA directors or the chamber or whomever's tasked with helping that downtown thrive. So that's on that side. So in every community has that really interesting, authentic downtown environment where there are these shops and stores and the storefronts that you just cannot recreate. So we love the resurgence of downtown and what's going on there. And it's often very affordable too. Those spaces are something that you can independently work with as opposed to dealing with the big real estate investment trust or somewhere, someone else who has a certain NOI they're trying to drive because they're a business themselves independently, the real estate venture that is. A lot of times these smaller towns have, owners that have been there, owned it for decades, you know, oftentimes debt-free and really want to work with someone. What we're seeing is, you know, while online is certainly growing, I think we were talking about this a little earlier that I think we're estimating this holiday season might get a little bit more of a bite out of it, maybe 4 or 5% growth annually. We're still seeing bricks and mortar dominate the landscape. IHL last year estimated that it was about 87% of total sales were inside brick and mortar stores.
What's IHL?
It's a group that does some research out of Nashville. They work nationally and internationally, actually, if I'm not mistaken. They're providing research on that granular level with the stores and taking a look at that. And in online pure play, in another study that we saw from ICSC, was only 5%. So in pure play, meaning no pickup at the store or no app on your phone, kind of meaning like you walked in and purchased. The online version was only online. It was delivered to you, so they had no physical store presence.
Some malls obviously are having a real difficult time. Mm-hmm. Is that mainly because of online's prominence now?
I think it's a little bit of two things. So some of those brands, you know, we talked about customer service. There's a lack of convenience in certain malls. You have to park and walk a long way to go to that one, 1,500 or 2,000 square foot storefront in, way on the interior of the mall. That's not a great experience for the consumers. Some of those are structurally in bad shape. Notably this year, Payless was one. So, you know, when you also see like a cumulative number of stores that have closed, you got to remember Payless was almost 3,000 of them. So, you know, we're actually opening a lot more physical locations than we are closing. But when you have big hitters like that, that go out in a big mass swoop, kind of like Toys R Us in the past as well, it starts to add up. And those are the headline grabbers as opposed mm-hmm. to, you know, all these other restaurants that are adding, you know, 150, mm-hmm. 100 stores a year. And then even the regional ones, which might open one or two, like Eric was saying, kind of incrementally moving a little bit slower, but real steady and real strong. So, and then a lot of malls were built and maybe even overbuilt a little bit through the 70s and the 80s. So, I mean, it's cultural changes and shifts in the way that people want to shop and just human migration in general. You know,
yeah.
They're great real estate. They offer awesome infrastructure. I think you're going to see a lot of mall redevelopment. But as you start getting into tertiary or struggling markets, the malls become real tough for the consumers.
For rural America, and I consider Harrelson and Carroll to be mainly rural type communities still, although you know, there's a sea coming from the east. But Andy mentioned culturally, and to me that's important. How do y'all see the cultural aspect of malls, Wally World, and Main Street downtowns? You know, the stronger and closer our neighborhoods are, and we as families in our neighborhoods, the stronger we are as a community. So, and that's back to the Little League and the high school football, and we have a lot of school systems here, so we have that neighborhood-type environment. Economically, the Main Streets and what y'all do in economic development, how do y'all put that cultural question into perspective?
Really just trying to understand the consumer. And also trying to recognize the strengths of the area. You know, in downtown Bremen, let's say, you're probably not going to get a national tenant. But you're going to have a strong chance at the exit 11 at the Highway 27 intersection. The same thing with downtown Tallapoosa. But because downtowns lend themselves to more entrepreneurial plays, they lend themselves to real estate that is already there. You know, a national retailer, they have a certain footprint. They want it to look just like this. If you go to a Panera Bread, for instance, and just about anywhere, they're almost always the same. And they want that to look that way. And the other part of that is you have to recognize, so I've got my customer on one end of the transaction, but on the other end of the transaction, I've got the guy with the money who's developing and the retailer who's paying the rent. And so you have to recognize, well, what does that retailer want? And I always say this because people get sometimes frustrated that a lot of the retail growth in Bremen, the national play restaurant and retailer growth in Bremen is in the Carroll County side of Bremen. Of course, you know, I've always said that capital doesn't really care about our political boundaries. It's going to go where it wants to go. But you also have to think about yourself when you're going down the road. So the consumer's driving down the interstate and they see that blue sign on the interstate that says Chick-fil-A, this exit. When you get off at that exit and you see at the bottom of the interstate, Chick-fil-A, 3.6 miles to the left, if you can't see it when you get to the bottom of that interstate exit, you're ticked off. 3 points. How many times has somebody gone on a witch hunt looking for that retailer that when they got to the bottom of the interstate was 3.6 miles left? So the retailers understand that, and they know that, well, if we're going to locate in this market, we're going to be to where you can see our sign at the bottom of the ramp. And so that's just the way that those guys are. And one, you know, people get irritated with that, but the fact is it's their money. And so that's one of the recognitions that the Interstate 11, Exit 11 play is retailers that have, and they're all going to cluster together. It's the same thing Andy said, you know, you go downtown for dinner. Well, when you get off the interstate, I need to get gas. I probably got 64 kids in the back of my minivan that I'm trying to keep quiet, and they're all hungry. I need to just get them fed and get them back on the road. But the same thing on the other side of that is the entrepreneur is not going to pay $350,000 for a half acre of land. So they're going to be more cash constrained, but they've got a better product, and they're going to go in your downtown. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that when we're looking at how do we help the community grow, you recognize the strengths of the consumer, the area, and the retailer.
Our guest this morning, Andy Camp of NextSight, VP of Business Development, Eric McDonald, who has 64 kids in the back, President and CEO of the
Great All Burner. On that one cell phone playing Snake.
And we'll be back with more after this word.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our daily schedule includes convocation, prayer, and the Pledge of Allegiance. By doing so, we build a family-like community where all students grow and flourish and personal faith is encouraged. Through community service and a historical approach to biblical study, our students are taught the value of the warrior way, honesty, respect, and responsibility. Oak Mountain Academy, we are a family creating legacies. To learn more, visit oakmountain.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Greidick, your host. We only got a few minutes left, but we're honored to have in studio Eric McDonald and Andy Camp. We started out by talking about how the big business industry tends to get all the press, and us little guys tend to not so much. And yet it's small business entrepreneurs, retailers, et cetera, that really drive this economy. With that in mind, it seems like how our perspective and our attitude as small business people is so important. And when we hear the stories about an impending depression, recession, it can really affect us, or how tariffs are going to destroy everything. It can really affect our mindset and our attitude in a way that legitimately does affect the economy. Is that correct?
Well, I think so. But I mean, all the indications are that, you know, we're expecting a pretty strong holiday shopping season, off to a great start. Numbers are going up year after year. But we are late cycle. You know, as the saying goes, what goes up.
Must be corrected.
Yeah, it must be corrected.
Of course, if we can get the guys on the radio to stop talking about depressions and recessions, maybe, yeah.
That's right. I think it was Joey at West Georgia who said, you know, stop Googling recession or it'll happen. Yeah. No, I do think there's a certain tendency to want to be the one who predicted it. But I was reading something the other day that there are several economists, the majority of them are thinking it's possible in the next 2 years. However, a lot of the fundamentals are pretty strongly supporting the opposite side of that. There's definitely pressures. Certainly the tariffs and some of the trade wars that get a lot of headlines, like you were talking about, those are going to affect those small businesses and even the larger retailers, even with their buying power, which ultimately comes back down to the consumer. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, all those costs are passed on. So I guess what I would say is that, you know, you've got a lot of really good things in place. It seems that there's a pretty strong sentiment within the small business community. I know some of those indexes are showing that people are pretty bullish, and, you know, it goes up and down a little bit, but not dropping drastically or going up dramatically. I would say that things look pretty good.
The unemployment and employment numbers also confirm that.
We're 3.6% unemployment, and now in order to get an employee, you're going to have to steal it from somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's an entire group of people that you know, we're hopeful can come back to the job market to fill some of those needs. I know a lot of the numbers that Eric and I see indicate that we're really not going to fill a lot of these jobs with the people that are coming, that are entering the workforce for the first time. So retooling them, getting some of them back in, customer service, making sure that they're trained well and out there on the forefront of retail would be a wonderful way for them to get back into the game.
We've got less than a minute, so I'm going to leave those last 20, 30 seconds to Eric McDonald to encourage everyone to shop local.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Get out there. Get your wallets out. Pull out those credit cards. Run into those businesses. Make sure that you listen to the radio to find out the good deals. And, hey, you know, today is Cyber Monday. Check your email. There's a lot of local small businesses offering coupons for you to walk into their door and pick something up maybe a little bit off.